Murder Monday is brought to you by CAMS Roofing and Remodeling. Lower your heating bills with a professional insulation installation by CAMS Roofing and Remodeling. Visit CAMSroofing.com to schedule your free estimate.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
The reason that we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give tips on any unsolved crime that might be happening in your area. Write this number down because you never know when you're going to need it. It's 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 1-800-222-TIPS. Alex, what story are you covering today for Murder Monday?
The vampire rapist. This story starts out straight heat, so I'm just telling you now to get ready for it, because here we go. It's late November in 1985 in Malabar, Florida. A man is driving down the road when he sees a young woman naked, dirty, with her ankles and wrists handcuffed, hopping down the side of the road. He pulls over to help her, and she points to a white house off the road and says, "Remember that house," gets in his truck, and passes out. So he remembers the house, and he calls police and gets her an ambulance. The hospital determines that she is missing between 40 and 45% of her blood and had ligature marks on her neck. She'd been hitchhiking the day before when a well-dressed man in a suit offers to give her a ride. He says that he's willing to take her wherever she needs to go, but that he needs to stop at his house first. When they pull up to his house, he invites her in, but she refuses. So he says, "Okay, no problem," and he goes in his house without her. When he gets back to his car, he tells her that he needs to get something out of his back seat. He opens the door right behind her, and before she can move, he's strangling her with a cord, and she completely blacks out. When she wakes up, she is tied to his kitchen countertop, naked, and she can't move her arms or legs. He's duct-taped her eyes shut as a blindfold, but from the angle where she's laying down, she can see just under it enough to see her surroundings. A video camera has been set up with lights. She also sees the man who had picked her up standing next to her, and he's also naked. He starts to sexually assault her and videotapes the entire thing. Then she feels a prick. A needle is sticking out of her arm and her wrist. And just when she sees this, she realizes the guy is draining her blood.
Ugh.
And he starts to drink it.
Oh.
And he starts telling her that he's a vampire. After that, he handcuffs her and puts her in his bathtub. Several times throughout the night, he returns for another round of sexual assault and to drink her blood. Then the next morning, after a third round, the man handcuffs the hitchhiker and leaves her in the bathroom, saying that he's going to be back later and that if she tries to escape, his brother, who is supposedly also in the house, will come and kill her. So she sits quietly and she hears him walk out of the front door and start his car. And when she knows that he's actually gone, she feels around a teeny tiny window on top of the bathtub, and she realizes that the lock on the window is broken. So she pushes herself out the bathroom window and crawls to the road through his front yard. She's still handcuffed at the wrists and the ankles. A police officer later said that he could not believe an adult human being could fit through that window. That is how tiny it was. Doctors also said that if she would not have escaped when she did, she would have died due to blood loss during the next extraction. So police go back to the house, and they discover that the guy who lives there is John Crutchley, whose wife and kid were gone for Thanksgiving vacation. While this had all happened, like, he is a married family guy. This house is decent looking from the side of the road. You would never think about the kind of stuff that was going on in there. And the girl had told police about the videotape and that he had videoed her sexual assault and the blood draining and all that. And they find the videotape, but the video had been taped over with something else, because that POS came home, saw the girl had escaped, and then tried to get rid of the evidence.
He's like, "All right, here's the Price is Right. We'll record court on this one.
So John Crutchley is arrested during the search, which takes place at around 2:30 in the morning. And while searching John's house, police find a stack of credit cards several inches thick with a ton of different women's names on them. And in the back of a closet in the master bedroom, they find a bag with multiple pieces of women's jewelry. And they realize that this case might be way bigger than they thought. So they call FBI profiler Robert Ressler. Now, Robert Ressler is said to have been the guy who coined the term serial killer in the 70s. He's one of the original serial killer FBI profilers. He like made a living on being able to figure out, based on evidence at crime scenes and stuff like that, what kind of person a killer might be. Mindhunter on Netflix.
That was a great show on Netflix.
Based on, I think this is one of the guys it's based off of. And he also has an amazing book that you should read or download the audiobook version of called Whoever Fights Monsters, My 20 Years Tracking Serial Killers for the FBI. And I'm reading it right now. It is excellent. So anyways, Ressler is convinced that John Crutchley had almost certainly killed before, even though they were only looking into him for a sex crime for this hitchhiker. Because this guy was bold enough to get a complete stranger in the middle of the day and then take her back to his house, that's why he thinks this. Because if you're a first timer, you're not going to feel confident enough to do all of that. He had a plan. And so Ressler says he's a serial killer of the organized type. So was Ressler right? Was the vampire rapist actually a vampire killer? We'll find out after these two songs as Murder Monday continues on the Joe and Alex Show.
If you want to get a little behind-the-scenes look at what's going on with Murder Monday, we put a lot of photos up on our Instagram, usually the night before and the day of. It's at Joe and Alex Show. Give us a follow. What I'm seeing right now, Alex, is I see the guy with these glasses. Is he the vampire killer?
Vampire rapist.
Rapist,
yes,
sorry.
John Crutchley.
What a weird-looking guy.
You can see his house and his wife.
That's his wife?
Yep.
We just get hot.
Yeah. So
why would you be doing that, bro? You got a good-looking wife at home.
You can see all of that at Joe and Alex Show on Instagram right now. And tell us what you think on there. I also, so you would remember, the book that I was telling you about that Robert Ressler wrote is in the captions. So if you want to buy it or download the audiobook, you can. So FBI profiler Robert Ressler is looking into a case called The Vampire Rapist in Malabar, Florida in 1985. But Ressler has a hunch that this rapist might actually be a serial killer. So he does some research into this area of Florida. And he discovers that there are four female bodies that were found in the same county in the previous year. And that unexplained bodies had been found in Pennsylvania and Virginia, places where John Crutchley had lived in years past. He also finds 72 3x5 paper cards that John Crutchley had written women's names on, and he had described their sexual performances. So Ressler calls these women up, and a bunch of them say that John had crossed the line from kinky consensual acts into sexual acts where he restrained them. And you're probably also wondering where John's wife is and what she thinks about all this, since she was on vacation when this stuff went down. Well, John's wife had apparently cooperated in similar acts and talks to the press about his attack on the handcuffed teenage girl, which, don't forget, took place while she was away, so she was not there, with their own little girl for Thanksgiving. And she said that it had been, and this is an exact quote, a gentle rape devoid of any overt brutality. Yeah.
I didn't realize that was a type that you could have. Wow.
Right. I didn't know there were such a thing as gentle rape, number one. And number two, if there was, I don't think it's whenever you restrain somebody and drain their blood from them. So there's that. She sounds like a peach. So let me tell you a little bit more about our little vampire rapist, John Crutchley. John comes from a well-to-do family in Pittsburgh, and he was described as a child as someone who had no friends. He preferred to spend most of his time tinkering with electronic gadgets in his basement, and for a while, his hobby for electronics pays off. He starts getting a pretty good amount of money repairing and rebuilding complex radio and stereo systems before he graduates from high school. Eventually, he gets his bachelor's degree in physics in Ohio in 1970 and earns a master's degree in engineering administration at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. He marries his first wife in 1969, but by the time he graduates from college, it's pretty much over. They'd been fighting and stuff. And so they end up divorcing, and John moves to Kokomo, Indiana, to work at Delco Electronics Corporation. But that job doesn't last super long because John gets fired from Kokomo after an investigation was made by plant security because some materials had started to go missing.
Uh-oh, we got sticky fingers over here.
And then he moves to Fairfax County, Virginia in the mid-1970s and remarries. And he works for several high-tech firms in the Washington, D.C. area, including a company called TRW, which is the same company my dad used to work for when I was a kid.
What?
So my dad, last night, I told him I was doing this case and I had seen this and I was like, Dad, did you know of anyone that knew this guy? And he was like, no, he worked for a different like plant within the company, but that is so weird because it is not
sure,
a big company.
Sure, that's what your dad would say.
Yeah, I know. So it's not a big company. So it's really, really ironic that they used to work for the same place. And so at about this time that John is working for this place called TRW, several teenage girls disappear in and around that area. An FBI profiler Ressler finds out that even though John looked clean cut and non-threatening, he was exceptionally controlling in his dealings with other people. Apparently John's wife was perfect for him and completely brainwashed because she tries to say that his little vampire rape with the hitchhiker is nothing more than a little S&M that gets out of hand. She tells reporters that she can't quite understand the fuss and says that her husband is just a kinky sort of guy. John Crutchley's initial defense at the time of his arrest is that the hitchhiker was a, quote, Manson girl. And this happened like 10 years after the whole Manson cult thing. So that was just ridiculous for him to say.
It's a long time
anyway
to be hitchhiking around like, hey.
And he said that she had solicited kinky sex from him. The hitchhiker is so traumatized from the whole ordeal that she refuses to press charges against John in court. But her rape counselor convinces her that after explaining everything, she said it would be her duty to other women for her to say something. And so she does. And John maintained that his actions were private and consensual and that he was just a sexual experimenter. That could have been maybe something that gave him some credibility had the hitchhiker not originally showed up at the hospital bleeding, missing half her blood. So that didn't really pan out. And what's really crazy is at the time of his arrest, the FBI also discovered that he had knowledge somehow of top secret level information regarding naval communications, information processing, and weapons equipment. Like from the government.
Well, that's not scary. That's totally cool.
One of the places John had worked was a place called the Harris Corporation, which was highly involved not only with NASA research and launch facilities at Cape Canaveral, but also with other naval contractors and subcontractors. So the FBI thought that maybe Crutchley had actually been using his sexual escapades as aiding and abetting, or basically espionage. And if you don't know, espionage is the practice of spying or of using spies by the government to get political and military information. So the FBI tries to get him on espionage too, but that doesn't end up panning out. And they also can't prove that John was responsible for any of the mysterious missing women in his area. John Crutchley, the so-called vampire rapist, was convicted of kidnap and rape after pleading guilty in June 1986. The sentencing was 25 years in prison with 50 years of subsequent parole, but he only serves 10 years before being given time off for good behavior and being placed on probation. He was free for less than a day when his probation was violated by smoking pot, and he was sent back to prison where he committed suicide in 2002 at 55 years old by placing a bag over his head. And him smoking pot was, it had happened in prison still. So right before he had left prison the first time, they threw him a party in jail for him getting out, and he smoked weed. And so the next day on parole, they were like, you're testing positive for drugs, you're going back.
That sucks.
Isn't that insane? So to this day, Robert Ressler really does think that he was a serial killer and had killed these women, but they just could not ever prove it. So if you want to read that book, it is super good so far. I'm reading it. Whoever Fights Monsters, My 20 Years Tracking Serial Killers for the FBI. And you can see pictures of his wife, him, and his house. Instagram at Joe and Alex Show. Do you think that he actually killed those women?
Of course he did.
Or was he just the vampire rapist?
No, he did all that stuff. They just, way back in the day, couldn't prove it. Hashtag Murder Monday, Twitter and Instagram at Joe and Alex Show.